So I pastor a church in rural Nova Scotia. I grew up in a fishing community myself. My brother's a fisherman, my dad's a fisherman, both my grandparents were fishermen, and God called me to a fishing community that I didn't really want to go to. I wanted to go to a city. I was really clear with the DS person that I wanted to go to a city, and God called us the furthest thing away from a city that you can imagine. We're 3 hours away from a city. We're in a community of about, the community I pastor is like 400 people. So we pastor a small little country church there. It's about 85 years old. And we've seen God do some amazing things, though. The church was in decline for about 15 years. And in the last couple years, we baptized like 15 people. We've seen a number of people come to know Jesus. Yeah. And it's been amazing to watch God be at work. And we're super excited for what God's up to. We're also planting a church in a month, which is crazy. I'm also going to be a campus pastor of a church we're planting in 1 month. We've done 5 preview services so far. It's called Coastal Church. And we witnessed God do some amazing things. Last Sunday night, we did one of our outdoor outreaches. It didn't rain for us. I guess we have more favor with Jesus or something. I'm just totally just kidding. But we had an outdoor event. We've done 5 preview services so far, and we baptized our first 2 people as a church. And so it was super exciting to do that last Sunday night, and we're excited to launch a new church here in about a month. And so I talked to Nathan a lot about, you know, how to plan church and learn. And so I'm super excited to have a chance to share a little bit with you. Hannah and Tyler and I are friends. We've gone back a while together. I did ministry with Hannah way back when we used to do ministries. Nathan's told you about the trucks. We told you about the trucks for those of you that are here. Well, I got reached through that ministry. I was a drug addict and a messed up dysfunctional teenager. And that ministry came to my town. I actually saw Nathan when I was 18 years old. And I can't even describe it to you. I didn't know Nathan from a hole in the wall. But I saw when he was up there preaching, it wasn't even his words. I don't remember a thing that he said. I just saw something in him. That was like, man, whatever he's got, I want it. I mean, I had accepted Jesus in my life, but I was just so broken and dysfunctional inside. I had invited Jesus in, but Jesus hadn't transformed me. There was not a lot of substance in me, and I knew what he had, I wanted. And so we traveled with the truck ministry, and that's how I met Hannah, and then Tyler and I met at Kingswood and have done ministry together. And so it's really cool, like I said, it's really cool to be here and have a chance to share with you a little bit. You know, and like, I just want to say, like, Nathan was the best man at my wedding, and I love him a lot. He's my most trusted friend, and you know, Nathan and I have joked from time to time, like even though like he is this incredible person, it's not him that makes himself incredible. It's you know why Nathan is such an amazing person? You know why he genuinely loves every person he comes in contact with? I'm a crier, so you can cry. It's all good. And you know why like there's that passion in him? It's because of Jesus. It's because he loves and pursues Jesus, and Jesus has transformed him. And so today I want to talk a little bit about being transformed and about being well this morning. And so before we do that, I want to pray because we need Jesus' help, amen. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to share, and I just pray for this church, for the people that are here. I pray that there be a real move of your spirit in this place. I pray that you'd uncover the hidden things of darkness, and I pray you destroy the works of the evil one. I pray you bring freedom and liberty and healing. Bring healing in this place this morning, Father. Bring restoration. Bring transformation. Bring the things, Lord, that only you can bring, and do the things that only you can do. God, I need you this morning. This congregation needs you. So we humble ourselves under your mighty hand, and we pray you'd lift us up, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So one thing that you're going to learn about me probably is, like, I tend to wear my heart on my sleeve, and I'm a very passionate person. Like, Sean and I are very similar that way, okay? We're like, you don't ever have to guess what we're thinking or what we're feeling because we're putting it out there, right? And so that's just how I'm hardwired. And one of the things that I'm incredibly passionate about is I'm incredibly passionate about Jesus, okay? Like, I could literally talk about Jesus all day long. And some of you are really glad that I'm only going to be doing it for about 30 minutes, okay? But I could literally talk about Jesus and about the Bible and about God all day long. I love Jesus. One of the things that I find so captivating about Jesus is this. Jesus transforms people's lives. The whole process of how Christ transforms people is so captivating to me. And it's so moving. And I think our culture is like really, like we watch these shows on TV that my wife watches, okay? And I'm like, after pastoring all day and like dealing with people's emotions and like you know, like pouring out your heart and soul, I don't feel like watching an emotional show when I go home at night and sit on my couch, okay? I'm emotionally tapped out. But our culture loves these emotional shows where this person gets a new house or like this person's life's totally changed and we all cry. We're like, oh, it's so awesome, you know what I mean? Like, we love those stories, but like, there's nothing this world can produce that is more captivating, more amazing, more wonderful than the transformation that Jesus Christ brings into people's lives. And I am captivated. Yeah, come on. I am captivated by how Jesus Christ works and transforms people's lives. I love it. I love it. I think it's amazing. I think we can clap and get excited. And, you know, we ought to be like going to church, being fired up. Not like this. It's like Eeyore worship. Pour out our praise. Like Jesus is at work. He's doing awesome stuff. We ought to express that with our face and our heart. Amen. Pour out our praise. Right? Now, some of us are wired more introvertedly. There's stuff going on in the heart, even though you're not like going crazy like me, I know. But there ought to be something going on in here, is what I'm trying to say. Like, if you really have had an encounter with Jesus, there ought to be something going on in here. And I guess that's what I want to get at this morning. Like, in the deepest part of your being, like, how's it going? Like, oftentimes I ask people the question, how you doing? Like, how many of you have been asked that question multiple times during the day? So how's it going? How you doing? What do we always just say? Good. Great. Doing all right? Move on. And we can do that like at Tim's drive-thru. Someone asks, oh, how you doing? Good. Now, oftentimes we do that, and we could be having the worst day ever. Like, let's just be honest. Like, someone asks us how we're doing, we say, good. Underneath the surface, man, it's like, it's crazy. It ain't going so good inside. So we're lying. Honestly, we are. So oftentimes what I'll do, and like Nathan's dad, who was one of my huge mentors in my life, oftentimes, like, he would coach us to ask a deeper question. Like, you know, the lean in, look into your eyes. How are you really doing? How are you really doing? And I guess that's a question I want to pose to you this morning. As you search in the deepest part of your soul, okay, how are you really doing as you sit here at Transformation Church this morning? How are you doing? Are you doing okay? Or do you not feel well in the deepest part of your being? Harder question to dodge, isn't it? When you're directly asked, how are you doing? So how are you really doing this morning? I have come to this conclusion because most of our culture is not plugged into Jesus, okay? Our culture is not well. Okay? At the very core of our culture, the culture is not well. Amen? Like, we see dysfunction everywhere, don't we? Like, one thing I find, like, when you're talking to someone maybe that doesn't know Jesus, it's not really hard to convince people of this sin issue. Because you look all around our culture and you see the devastation that selfishness and sin has created in our culture, right? We see it all. It doesn't take long to convince people that we have dysfunction, that we have this issue, that we're not well. Now, pop culture tries to communicate, it's like, just look within yourself, like, you can get better, like, you just do these steps, this self-help stuff, and you do all these different kinds of things, or like, you just pull up your own strength, pull up your own bootstraps, you can face life, you can do it, it's in you, you do you, right? That's the message that culture gives us. The problem I have with that message that culture gives us is this. Every time I've tried to go to my own strength and pull up in my own bootstraps, I fall short every single time. I can't be the father I'm supposed to be. I can't be the dad I'm supposed to be. I can't be the pastor I'm supposed to be. I can't be the person I am supposed to be every time I go to my own resources. And I'm convinced that all of us in this room, whether we like to admit it or not, come to that crossroads, where we look within ourselves to be the person we're meant and supposed to be, but we fall short. And I don't think at times, if we're being honest, and yes, even as Christians in the church, I'm not convinced that at the deepest part of our being, that we're really well. So are you well this morning? Are you well? You see, I think we're missing the source. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. If you're someone that's like new to Jesus or discovering or just checking the Jesus thing out, I just want to encourage you, if I could direct you anywhere in the Bible to read, I would direct you to John, the Gospel of John. If you've never read any of the Bible before, open up to the New Testament, the fourth book in. It's the Gospel of John, 21 chapters. Go ahead and read that. It's a great introductory to the person of Jesus. In John chapter 1, it talks to us about how the Word became flesh. John chapter 2, Jesus performs his first miracle at Cana. And then verse chapter 3, we hear about Jesus having this encounter with this dude named Nicodemus. And you know what I'm saying? All right, okay. So like Jesus has this encounter with this guy named Nicodemus and tells him about being born again. And then in John chapter 4, I love the story. Jesus has this encounter with the woman at the well. And I could like stop and preach about that, but I will get distracted. So we're just going to keep on going to John chapter 5. And you are all glad, right? Amen? You can say amen. It's okay. John chapter 5, we're looking at the story of a man who had been crippled for 38 years, okay? So we're going to read this text together. I have NIV here, but that doesn't look like NIV. So we're just going to, can I read from this? All right. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which is in Aramaic is called Bethesda, which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Just stop there for a sec. So I was in Israel in June, and it was like the best trip of my life. Like, it was so incredible. And Jerusalem is a city that's surrounded with, and there's older gates as well, but it's surrounded with gates. And gates are really significant, especially in New Testament and Old Testament times, because people would gather around gates. And so we have this pool called Bethesda, and if you haven't checked like the thermometer or like the temperature in Israel, it gets really hot. Like when I was there, it was 42 degrees, okay? Really hot. You can't really be outside at like 12 o'clock doing work, right? So oftentimes they'd have these colonnades or these like things with pools underneath them, so people would go into them and cool off during the heat in the middle in Israel. And so just to kind of give you some context, let's go to the next verse. It says, here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. Can y'all say 38 years? 38 years. Like, I ain't 38, okay? I'm 33, I'll be 34. I can't imagine 38 years. 38 years, what? I'm a youngin'. So, 38 years, I can't imagine, like, being paralyzed for 38 years. Okay, let's keep going. You're doing a great job. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him a question. Okay, we're not judging Jesus here, but like, doesn't this seem like a bit of a ridiculous question? Just saying. This next question, he's been sick for 38 years. He asked him this question. Do you want to get well? Why would he ask that question? Let's keep going. Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. So, very mysterious passage of scripture. Most of your Bibles that you have actually take, verse 4 is actually written, it isn't written in there. You go to John chapter 5, verse 1, 2, 3, it'll jump right down to John chapter 5. Because John chapter 4 was actually inserted later to try to make an explanation for this very mysterious verse. So there's something to do with this pool, this water would bubble up, and this person thought by doing so he could get himself well. Now, when I was in Israel, we went to this place called Magdala, where they discovered recently, and it's really interesting because in this community that they just discovered like 13 years ago, there is this trench that would run through the ground. And this trench was designed so that running water could run through it. Because in Jewish communities, in order for them to be ceremonially clean, they had to have running water, okay? And as I looked at the mountains, there's like a river, there's like a tree line where everything else was desert, but there was this tree line where this water ran down. And so whether or not, Scripture's kind of not really clear in this passage of Scripture, but perhaps the man thought that if I could get into this moving, running water, I could clean myself up and become well. Maybe he wasn't dealing necessarily with the cripple issue. Maybe his heart, just imagine being paralyzed, not being able to get to water for 38 years. Like, imagine not being able to brush your teeth for 38 years. Y'all wouldn't have any teeth left, okay? Imagine not being able to clean yourself for that long. Like, maybe he wasn't even thinking about his paralyzed issue. Maybe that was just his reality. Maybe he was thinking, like, maybe he had sickness from not being able to cleanse himself. And so, for whatever reason, this mysterious passage of Scripture, he can't get down to the water. Next verse. Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Boom. Next verse. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. Uh-oh. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who has been healed, it is a Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk." So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick up a mat? Pick it up and walk." The man who was healed had no idea who it was for. Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. And so we kind of unpacked a little bit of this scripture, and I just want to go back to that ridiculous question. We're not judging Jesus. The question seems weird, does it not? Okay? Right? Let's just be honest. It's okay. We're in church. We can be honest. Do you want to be well? It seems like a little bit of a ridiculous question. This idea of well really encompasses not just like physical, but wellness has this idea of like holistically good, holistically complete, you know, that idea of fullness. And so the man was hanging by the pool for relief. As I mentioned, it gets really hot. The pool is a spot for the man to get relief from the heat, perhaps be cleansed in some form. But on step to the scene is Jesus. Jesus, who is the living water. It's interesting because the pool of Bethesda was like a pool, okay? It was, you know, just a pool of gathering. It didn't appear as if there was anything running or living through it. And so this man's focus and attention is on a pool. But to contrast that, living water had just showed up right in front of him, and he doesn't recognize it. You see the contrast? And so Jesus, who says, "I am living water," steps onto the scene. And I want to tell you something this morning. Jesus is a well and a source that does not run dry. Okay? You can't get to the bottom of Jesus, all right? Now let me say this to you. This is so good. He is so good. Let me say this to you. Jesus is full of the resources we need for each and every moment and for everything we face. Can I get an amen for that? Let me say it one more time. Jesus is full of the resources we need for each and every moment and for everything we face. But you know, time has this way of destroying hope. Like sometimes we get into this like multi-year holding pattern. Maybe something is just the way that it is, and we're kind of stuck in a rut. We're stuck in a rut of the way that things are done. Like maybe this man, just got like 38 years of his life. This is just the way that it is. Like nothing can change this. This is the way that I am. Maybe you just like quit hoping altogether. How many of you guys have been here and there's something in your life that you've hoped for, but because of years or decades of not experiencing, maybe it's like someone in your family that you want to come to faith in Jesus. Maybe it's someone in your family that you want to come to church. And for whatever reason, because it hasn't happened in a long period of time, you've given up hope. Just because like you just don't think it's going to happen. You imagine this man just getting to the point where he just quit hoping, "Oh, this is just the way it's going to be." Or maybe you got just used to it. Maybe he got his regular spot by the side of the pool that someone puts him there. Maybe he's got his coffee buddies that he hangs out at Tim Hortons. And just gets comfortable with like living this lifestyle of just this is what it is. Maybe he lost hope in believing that there was more that God had for him. And I think oftentimes it's this. We get so stuck in the day in, day out of what we do as humanity and our lifestyle that we actually stop believing that God has more for us. And I'm here to tell you this morning this. God has more for you. He has, like, you cannot fathom you cannot fathom what the Father has in his heart for you. He has so much he wants to offer to you and give you. And I think so often as Christians and as people in general, we just scratch the surface. But Jesus is a well that never runs dry. I'm here to tell you this morning that wherever you're at, whether you're a believer in Jesus or not, I'm here to tell you with all of my heart, God has more for you. And God, Jesus, can make you well. Are you well this morning? Or have you just gotten into a rut like saying, this is just the way that I am. I can't help it. It's just what I do. I'm here to tell you this morning that there's more. There's more. I love that your name is Transformation Church. Let me tell you, there's a lot of churches that are jealous about your name. Because when you go to we had the process of like naming our church Coastal Church, and there's this church in BC called Coastal Church, and so we had to like, our website is not coastalchurch.com, it's coastalchurchns.com. Kind of like, still bitter, but I had communion and I forgive them and, you know, let it go. But like, I love that your name is Transformation Church, because I think at the heart of the gospel, that's what it's all about. It's all about transformation. Now, sometimes we think transformation, we think, like one of those Disney movies my daughter watches, and bippity-boppity-boo, and it's done. Boom, like that, right? But transformation is a crisis, it's a moment, but it's also a process. Can y'all say process? And so Romans 12 verse 1 says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so transformation is this process that God brings us through. And some of us have had 38 years of thinking that we've been stuck into that are actually not scriptural or biblical. And like, Jesus literally has to rewire the way we think, because the patterns we developed are not scriptural and not biblical. And so Christ needs to rewire the way we think. So maybe there's a habit you have in your life, you've had it for 30-some years. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that 38 years of developing that habit, Christ can fix it and change it. Doesn't matter what it is. Like, I used to be an addict. I smoked every day. I smoked pot every day. Jesus totally transformed me. I used to have really bad habits in my life. I used to do all kinds of really, really bad things. I used to steal and pawn stuff off for drugs. I used to have all these bad, negative patterns that have been ingrained in my life. But because of Jesus, we can be transformed. I'm here to tell you this morning, whether you're a believer in Jesus for 40 years or whether you don't even know Christ, I'm here to give you hope. You can have more and you can be changed. Amen? There's hope found in the gospel. So Jesus says this statement. This is not the process moment. This is the crisis moment. He says to the man, stand up, take up your mat, and walk. And what goes down? Hashtag boom. Come on. He gets up and walks, right? So Jesus steps in. So the question that was asked, that Jesus asked to this man, I want to ask you. How would you answer the question if Jesus asked you this morning, do you want to be well? Remember I asked you the question we started off this morning, are you well? Are you doing okay? And all of you in this room had an answer. You don't have to tell me the answer. That's between you and Jesus. But all of you had an answer, and some of you said, yes, because of Jesus, in here, it is well with my soul. I am well. I'm thankful that even though I go through really challenging, sometimes frustrating seasons, I'm thankful that I can say in the depth of my being, Christ has made me well. That's why I laugh. That's why I have joy. It's because Christ has made me well. So what was your answer this morning when I asked you that question? Are you doing well? And if your answer was no, and the second question I want to ask you, we're having like a little counseling session here. Do you want to be well? In the very depth of your being, do you want to be well? Some of us need to stop trusting in other things other than Jesus to make us well. Some of us have physical needs here this morning, and I don't think God neglects those things, but I think for a lot of us in this room, it goes deeper. It goes in here. Do you feel well? Do you feel whole and complete? Or do you have that feeling in the deepest part of your being that something is missing? I think many of us struggle inside with value, with anger or resentment. Like, the problem is this, is that the things that we pursue to try to fix these issues, like, we'll never get them fixed. Like, some of, like, it's easy, like, when I was an addict, I used to go to pot, I used to drink and party to try to put a Band-Aid over my own dysfunction, my own brokenness, my own insecurities. And it came up short every single time. Some of us go to alcohol to try to put a Band-Aid over those that brokenness or that insecurity, but every time we get off the bottle, all that ugliness that's inside of us comes right back roaring, right? Now, it's easy for us to say in a church setting about the outward things that we know is wrong. But what about for some of us in the room that we escape to work because we can't deal with the stuff that's going on in here? We become workaholics. We're not well inside, so we want to suppress what's going on in here, so we just become a workaholic. Or what about some of us in this room here this morning, including myself? How many of us, when stuff's not well inside here, we just get really busy with family? We just do a bunch of family stuff, try to make us feel better. We live out of guilt. Or some of us, like, I'm on vacation right now. I played golf yesterday. It was awesome. Don't ask Nathan who won. He did. No, I'm just joking. But, like, I love going on vacation. But I think some of our culture is just wired to, like, work really hard, work really hard, work really hard, so I can go on vacation. And that's, like, the end-all be-all. But guess what? You're going to work really hard and work really hard and work really hard. If you're not trusting in Jesus to fix what's going on in here, you're going to go on vacation. You're still going to be messed up in here. And guess what? When you come back from vacation, you're still going to be messed up in here. You know why? Because you're coming back from vacation. Vacation is not going to fix what's going on in here. It might make you feel more rested, which it usually doesn't. It's usually more stressful for some reason. I don't know. This is what I'm getting at. Like, work is a good thing, right? For some of us, maybe not. I didn't get a very good response there. For some of you, are like, no, it ain't, man. You don't tell me it is. Work is a good thing. Something given by God. God wants us to work. Is family a good thing? Okay, man. You guys got rough work, rough family? Like, man. We really need to have a counseling session here, bro. Like, family is a good thing. I want to convince you of that. Work is a good thing. Family is a good thing. Vacation, thank you, Jesus, is a good thing. Right? But trusting in them to fix what's broken in here will always make us come up short. Because the only person in the universe that can fix what's going on in here is Jesus Christ himself. I want to tell you something. Nathan Mascury, as an amazing person as he is, cannot fix you. He cannot fix his church, and he cannot fix his problem in the city. There's only one. There's only one that we can put our trust in that's going to fix us and fix our city. And it's Jesus. Some of us trust in man when we should be putting our trust in God. Man, God is placed there. There's amazingly gifted people. But are you looking to man or are you looking to Jesus this morning? Because this morning, I want to point you to Jesus because he is the answer. Amen? Amen. He's the one who can fix us. He's the one who can restore us. Do you want to be well this morning? Do you want to be whole this morning? You see, the Holy Spirit has this amazing thing that he does. The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. And for some of you, when I ask that question about, how are you really doing? The Holy Spirit revealed to you that things inside of you aren't going so well. And I'm thankful that the church is a place where it's okay to not be okay. You know that this morning? If you're here this morning and you're not doing okay, I'm so thankful that this is an environment where it's okay if you're not okay. It's okay if you don't have it all together. It's okay if you feel messed up and dysfunctional like I do. Welcome to the club! And the thing I love about the body of Christ that Jesus made is that the body of Christ is meant to be a place of grace and of truth. where we can come in, warts and all, and be loved and accepted. And we can come to a place like this, with all our dysfunction, with everything hanging out, and we can experience the love of Jesus and be transformed by it. That's good news this morning, isn't it? Do you want to be well this morning? The truth is that Jesus died for your transformation. And that the gospel isn't just to make you good enough. Just get by, you know? Put a band-aid on it. Jesus wants to make you well in the deepest part of your being. And he did it for me, and he can do it for you. So, I'm going to invite the worship team to come at this time. What area do you sense Jesus wanting to make you whole? Let me ask you this question. Is there a hurt? Is there a hurt this morning? Or a hang up, something you're hung up on? Or a habit that you have? Maybe you've had it for 38 years. I'm here to tell you there's still hope. My dad smoked for like 50 years. And I'm so proud of him. He smoked like 2 packs a day, every day. For the last 3 years, he's been cigarette free. No matter what pattern you have in your life, I'm here to tell you, Jesus can fix it. Jesus can change you. Jesus can make you whole. It just comes back to how bad we want it. How bad do you want it? You know, maybe the reason why Jesus asked the question, do you want to be well? Was he really had to ask the man the question, do you really want it? Maybe he was comfortable with his current situation. Like, as hard as it is for us to imagine, when you're like a certain way for 38 years, you just get used to it. How bad do you want it this morning? For those of you here this morning that want to be made well in here, how bad do you want to be made well? Last Sunday, when we baptized those two people for the very first time, I want to tell you, it was really something. They had gone through a Bible study of 6 weeks, learning about what it means to follow Jesus. One of them had to tell their coworkers that they couldn't go to a party, all their coworkers, because they were getting baptized that night. They realized that things in their lifestyle needed to change if they were truly going to be followers of Jesus. One of them wrote out their testimony, saying an apology to anyone they'd ever hurt before. But you know something? They wanted to follow Jesus so bad, they were willing to take the risk and be baptized in front of 300 people last Sunday night because they wanted to follow Jesus bad. And I think sometimes we ask that question to ourselves, are we really well inside? And we realize that we're not. But I think oftentimes what stops us from coming to Jesus, to being fixed, is we really don't want it that bad. How bad do you want to be made well? Because I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus is here. Jesus really, really can make you well. And I know that because he did it for me. But how bad do you want this morning to be made well? How bad do you want to be transformed? Some of us don't even want to be like Jesus. Some of us want to just go to heaven, but there's so much more. But it's up to you this morning how you respond to what Jesus wants. So what will it be for you?